Good afternoon, Melbourne. Good afternoon, Australia. And good day or evening to all our international listeners as well. I'm Helen Taylor, and welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Monday, 4 p.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Sunday, 11 p.m. Central Time for the US and Canada, for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform, and we're going live to over 190 outlets worldwide. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo, because we're breaking free from limiting systems and embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell their story, to reveal how they've overcome change and made better lives for themselves and others along the way, and to inspire you with their stories, because storytelling is creating a new world. So let me introduce today's guest. We've got Martin Ansell, a man who lived a pretty standard life until the COVID lockdowns changed everything. After losing his job as a driving instructor, Martin began asking deeper questions and became a bit of a forced historian. He came highly recommended to me, and from what I've discovered so far, Martin is a deep thinker and a researcher at a time when we truly need people who are willing to look beneath the layers of the stories, distortions, and outright lies that are happening in the world out there, so we can get closer to the truth about our language, our history, our laws, all sorts of things. But beyond intellect, Martin is also spiritually connected, and he speaks about conscious influence and personal experience, even describing moments of cloud busting through focused intention. Interesting topic, that one. There's much to learn about Martin, and we'll be discovering that together today. So thank you, Martin. Welcome.
Thank you, Helen. Nice to be here.
Good, good. So let's start, right, with the story of COVID, because so many people out there can understand that time. Everybody was impacted in some way. So life up until that point was pretty happy for you, yeah?
Yeah, pretty simple. Yeah, just going out, teaching people to drive, getting them through their tests in a week or so. And then moving on to the next one. So, if I never needed any time off, I could easily make time off for myself. So, yeah,
So
for
life
want of a
was
better
pretty
word, a fairly
predictable.
ideal.
Life was pretty predictable. Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah,
Excellent.
and predictable.
Excellent. And I must say, for everybody who's listening to, you're in the UK.
I
Yep.
am indeed
Just so
on
people know.
Sussex in England.
Sussex in England. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Because I'm here in Australia. But it's very interesting that no matter where we were in the world, we were having similar experiences. So tell
Yeah.
me, so at one point you were getting locked down. And what happened?
Yeah, well, we could see it coming, and so the work kind of dropped off, and then as soon as it finished, I thought, really, well, who's got the right to stop me working? So that's when my kind of dive into law kind of started pretty well, on the first day of lockdowns, because prior to that I'd been working,
So you had time
and
on
so
your
on.
hands.
Lots of it.
Right. So tell me, so that was a real turning point for you. Why? So you started questioning why were they doing this and how could they do this? So what did you start investigating?
I just started looking for information about statutes or law and so on, and who had the right to make the laws and so on. So yeah, obviously it's like 6 years back now, so I can't remember exactly what or where, but I just got on the internet, started doing some research as many people did at that time.
Absolutely. So you weren't going to take it at face value and just say, sure, lock me up, lock me down, I should say. You were going to look at why.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't take any notice of any of the mask mandates that we had over here in the UK, which just were mad. So, yeah,
Well,
I.
why do you think that? I mean, we need to talk about that too, right? Because a lot of people conformed and did what they were asked. What did you think was going on in terms of why we had to wear masks?
Well, it was obviously some sort of mad government control thing. I mean, yeah, as I've mentioned to you, previously, I haven't trusted the state or the church since I was a small child, so for various reasons.
Yes.
So, I suppose it just seemed mad to me. And as soon as you look at any of the idea that a mask can keep out a virus, if there are such things, of course,
Yes.
then you're into a completely different world. And
Well, you and I both come from a generation where we grew up, we had chickenpox, we had the measles, we had those sorts of things going on, and nobody batted an eyelid.
No.
Everybody just, either stayed home, drank chicken soup or water, had a temperature or whatever it was that was going on. Everybody just managed it and got over it and moved on. It became a bit of a blimp in the radar, didn't it? Where
And
now,
then,
all of a sudden, it had this massive fear factor.
I think, because there was all this idea of contagion and it being, spread by sneezing or whatever, or just breathing at people. And, so pretty well early on, I was also looking at information about that, about, how diseases spread. And came across a lot of people who were giving information about that, but I didn't think I could do any research personally because either I mean there's a lot of people like Sabrina Wallace, for instance, who goes on about it in the States, about it all being electromagnetic and so on, and so on, a lot of that stuff.
There's a lot
So
of rabbit holes, a lot of rabbit holes
yeah.
about viruses.
And so the only thing that I saw that I could really get a handle on, I suppose, was stuff that was written, like the law. I mean, I couldn't, I don't have an electron microscope, so I can't, do any tests on my, on my own sputum or something like that, or whatever. And I probably don't have the mental capacity to, to read and understand all the data. Or the inclination, really. So the only thing left, really, was to look at the law.
Right. So tell me what you started to find out.
Well, what I found out was that there's no there, so to speak. You keep on looking and looking to find out where this authority comes from, and it appears as it come. Yeah, it's kind of made, like the like fiat currency, and facts, the facts in law, I believe, comes from facio, which is to make, isn't it, in Latin. So
And who makes them?
the
Men
yeah
do.
well just
Men
well
do.
people
Yes,
who yeah
yes, yes,
who knows,
yes,
but
yes.
they just appear somewhere.
It just appears somewhere. And it's difficult because over the last 5 or 6 years, I don't know about you, but I've listened to many, many people who have been trying to retrace what has happened, the layers and layers of our statutes and law. I put that in inverted commas. It's a mammoth job.
It's never ending.
Right.
I know of people who have been looking, who woke up obviously much earlier and have been looking for a way out for 20 years or more, and are highly skilled in the law, and they're still looking.
People just need to go and have a look back at the Roman kind of part of life, don't they? And the way that the books that have been written about Roman life and Roman authority, when you start reading those things, you think, oh my gosh, is that still going on in this world?
And goes back to the Greeks before them, of course, as well.
So you went back
So,
even further.
yeah, I mean, this is quite recent because I wasn't getting anywhere. And there are various people like you spoke to Cal Washington and
Yes.
so on. And he spent some time in prison, didn't he? But he got out. They kind of kicked him out. And then there was somebody else, Elizabeth Molson, who was jailed in Greece, and but she refused to give them a name. She refused to sign anything, and after 90 days, they threw her out. I
Well,
mean, if you're supposed to be
we have to get into the basis of that though, because you've just jumped forward now and people don't know what you're talking about in terms of you just don't give them a name. So you started looking at law and realized it was a convoluted layer, 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 layer sort of system that was very difficult to navigate. But you started to find out about history, so getting into Roman history, like the and Greek history, so the establishment of our legal system, would that be right?
Kind of. For sure.
And that,
I thought I'd go back as far as I could.
right. And that then led you into our names, finding out about our names. So what did you find out about our names?
Well, there was a guy called or known as David Desari on Facebook, and this was once again quite early on, and he was pointing out the difference between post and mail, and how our names are written in different ways. And then
For
because I
everybody out there, can I just say that post and mail, you're talking about letterboxes and our mail that we send and receive,
yeah
that sort of
yes
mail.
so so post and mail are two different things. I don't know if I touched on that before. So post has a letter, has the address on the envelope, and it has a separate stamp that you'd buy at a post office over here. Whereas mail just has a franking mark, and the address isn't kind of written on the outside. It appears to be visible through a window
Okay, those window
in the
box
envelope.
envelopes. So you
But
started
what
to
you
discover that there was something up. So what's the difference between the two?
Basically, if you ever get, so for instance, I've got here a thing that came through to me, delivery. Basically, if you send anything by parcel post, generally you go to the post office and they'll put a stamp on the outside of it. Or if in the olden days, you send a postcard or a letter, and they'll put a stamp on it, and you have to pay for that stamp, and that stamp basically, means that the thing can change, go to a different jurisdiction, which once again is a further rabbit hole kind of thing.
Let's keep it
Whereas,
simple.
if you've got, let's just say
For those
you
people
can,
out there that are watching this on radio, they can't see what you're looking for, but we're going to
right?
explain it to them.
Yeah, so we like here we've got an envelope.
You're holding up a
Oh,
window
that's not.
faced envelope.
And you see here we've got a name and address there.
Your
But
name,
actually,
address.
well, it's a name that, looks like mine. But actually, this is addressed. The address on the envelope is on the back here. What
So
people would normally think of as the
you've
back.
turned it over and you're looking at the back where it says, if undelivered, please return to. So that's printed on the outside of the envelope. And you're saying that when it comes to the mail system, then the postage or the postie should follow what's on the outside of the envelope, not what's in the window.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, if you think about it, above where it's got the name and address here visible in the window, there's a bit of the envelope that hidden that you can't see there. If this document inside the envelope, you can't see all of it. So it's possible that it could say up here, on no account must this ever be delivered to this address. So basically, the postmen are the world over are not taught how to deliver post because it's so damn obvious.
So you're
So this is one of the.
saying, so hang on, I don't get that. I don't get it. So if you get an envelope that's a window face and all you can see is the name and address on it, because it's not disclosing anything else that's inside that, you're not to open it.
Well, basically, it's the name and address you see on there is actually the is the description of a trust.
So let's go back a step
It's
to that.
corporate trust. Yeah, I mean, this is, it's a huge, tricky thing.
It is huge, but how can we make it simple for people? Because a lot of people have heard the language of straw man. They've heard
Yep.
about the birth certificate trust or registrations. So what is your take on that? What happens when we're born?
Okay, so when we're born, the first thing that happens is that there's a registration of live birth.
Yep.
Yeah. But that is the registration of the infant. And because of all the stuff that I've researched, I checked out what the word infant means.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's Latin and it means unable to speak.
Right.
Yeah. And to speak, if you check that out, means to utter from the mouth. Yeah.
Okay.
And to utter is to make a sound or whatever. Yeah. So something that utters from the mouth is not an infant, because an infant is from infant, unable to speak. Yeah.
Unable to, yeah.
Unable to speak. So the infant is unable to speak, yeah, or make any sound. And this is why I believe there used to be that classic idea that doctors would slap a baby's bottom to hear it cry. Yeah.
Okay.
What they're doing there is they're checking whether the baby is an infant or not. If it cries out, it can't be an infant because it's making a sound.
Okay.
So that they should then ignore that product of birth. And then you have the other product of birth,
Which is
which is the placenta, the
okay.
afterbirth. And that is the infant, from what I understand, in their mad, twisted game.
There's a lot of versions out there about how this
Yep.
works, and I'm really interested because remember, everybody, we're talking about a driving instructor here. We're talking to Martin, who was happily getting on with his life, teaching people how to get their licenses and driving them around. And now we've got you talking about like the structure of our words and the structure of registration of births and how, wow, like there can be this convoluted idea that, we're looking at what infant means and what placenta is. And are we essentially talking about registering if the baby's alive or dead?
No, they don't care about the baby. It's not part of their system.
Rightio. Okay, so when we're born and we're registered, what's it about?
We're not registered. It's about,
Oh.
it's all about the placenta being registered
The
or
placenta
recorded.
being
Yeah,
recorded.
because if basically it's alive, if it's showing movement and so on, and because you've got that pulsing of the placenta,
Right.
if you, once again, if you read stuff, obscure stuff carefully, you'll find out that kind of pulsing of the afterbirth shows that it's alive, and then it dies, and so on. So, in my view, all the stuff that people worry about themselves being registered, is nothing to worry about because they're not interested in us. Yeah, because they know man has free will,
Yep.
but. So basically what's happening is that the hospital staff are making false claims and filling in the forms wrong. So when they weigh the placenta and so on, when they weigh the baby, they shouldn't be weighing the baby. They should be weighing the placenta.
So somewhere back in history, somebody decided to register or record the placenta and weigh the placenta for the purposes of what?
No, okay, so no, they didn't decide to do that. They wrote the law, they wrote the rules so that people would think they had to weigh the baby. So all the as far as I can see, all the rules are written so that those who are in charge have got plausible deniability. So they can just say to about the baby being recorded as an infant, kind of, well, we told you what to do, and yet you're still, an infant. You know, there's a test to see whether the baby is an infant or not because you just slap his
So
bottom there.
they're playing an unspoken game of some sort.
For sure.
For what purpose?
Because man has free will, and so they have to trick us into playing it or playing everything.
But how are they benefiting?
So, well, because we shape the world for them.
How are they benefiting from the trickery that seems to start from the day we're born?
Well, because they trick us into building roads for them so they can move stuff around and do whatever they do. I mean, I don't know exactly what they do because I'm not party to these people. But I know that if I was kind of a psychopath, these would be the kind of things that I would do because I wouldn't want anybody blaming me.
But
Similarly with the post.
I'm still missing something here. I'm still missing something. How are they benefiting? So you're saying that they've set up some sort of trickery, right, where we're recording a placenta instead of a live birth of some sort, and
They should be, but they're not. They're actually,
and that placenta then programs us, something about it programs us into building roads and living our lives for them.
Well, no, because they ask the mother what she's going to call the placenta, and she gives it the same name as the baby. So basically, those records then go on. So you've got this kind of double thing. You've got the n name of the placenta, it's got the same name as the baby.
Two systems, two
Two
entities.
completely separate systems.
Why?
Okay, so how much work does Bill Gates have to do? None.
Not
How
much.
much work do the Rothschilds have to do? How much work do the Rockefellers have to do? None. They just sit there in their palaces, and they get people to build roads for them. They get people to get all their food for them. I'm not saying it's them that have actually started the system. The system is probably much older than that. But that's what it benefits them. And so they can then allow the basically they've got plausible deniability because they say, well, no, the infant is something that can't speak. You should have been weighing the placenta, not the baby. And similarly, and when you've been naming those things, that's nothing to do with these people out there. What were you thinking of?
So you're saying that the name in that window-faced envelope is not the living man or the living woman.
No,
It is a created entity that they're capitalizing on.
that people volunteer to capitalize on. And the thing is, because my ideas seem so mad, even though if you look into it logically, it's
I
what happens with
absolutely,
them.
I love hearing what you're explaining, right? Because let me remind everybody again, this is the driving instructor who, started to just delve into all of this stuff. And you haven't been interviewed before about this stuff. So it's all coming out a little raw and really, really quite intense, right? And I'm just doing my best to try to play, I suppose, the devil's advocate, like I'm a listener out there going, what the hell is this guy talking about, right? Everybody's heard, though, out there, if you've been researching this stuff, that something happens with the paperwork when we're born. Something then starts happening with every registration of an item that we make in our lives. And something is happening behind the scenes with making a hell of a lot of money for somebody. And we don't even know that that's going on. Is that right?
On the whole, yeah. I
So
mean,
two different entities when we're born, one's alive and one goes home with mum and dad, but there's this other one on paper or on the system that starts to create a trust. Is that right? And that trust, I mean, I've heard others speak and I've investigated this part too. There's a double entry bookkeeping system out there in the world too. We get to see one face of the money system where there's another level going on behind the scenes too.
In my opinion, because everybody says do your own research. Yeah, so this is what I've done, or anybody, you know, of worth. So I thought, okay, well let's have a look into what all these things actually mean. Yeah, rather than because we know how tricky they are. And so yeah, so that's how I found out from somebody else about this post and mail, but then I made the connection that we have to pay for a stamp for the when we want to send a letter, it's we're changing a jurisdiction. Yeah, so it's going from our living jurisdiction to a kind of dead jurisdiction, so to speak, and then back out the other end.
That's a good word, jurisdiction, because when I started investigating this stuff, that was what I had in the back of my mind. I was thinking to myself when I started to investigate, what's this diplomatic immunity that's out there? You know, how do some people work in a different jurisdiction and seem to be above other jurisdictions? So that was in the back of my mind, the word diplomatic immunity and jurisdictions. And I'm still looking at it that way. It's like, how do I, or how do we all create a new jurisdiction where we operate under God's law and, you know, operate outside of the jurisdictions that have been created out there? What's your thinking about that?
Well, so it's funny because I'd kind of heard about it, but then I was reading an article, and along there were comments beneath the article, and there was this one that this chap had said, oh yeah, you know, it's all about jurisdictions. Here's all the work I've done on jurisdictions, and there was a whole load of stuff. There's actually a kind of an accessible Google Drive thing about jurisdictions, and although I don't essentially agree with kind of all of it nowadays, it really led me, you know, into understanding this idea that you've got these four basic jurisdictions. You've got the soil, the land, the water or maritime, and the air kind of thing. And we see in, you know, in if you watch, for instance, the old film The Hunchback of Notre Dame, where the hunchback claims sanctuary for the woman that he's rescued within the church. Yeah, and in and basically because the church was church jurisdiction, and the police can't enter there or couldn't in those days. What's happened since then, since these films were made, is that the churches have been tricked into giving up jurisdiction. So they've been given the option to register as a charity, so they're not liable for tax. Well, they were never liable for tax in the first place
Oh, but
because they're not in that jurisdiction.
registering shifted their jurisdiction.
Yeah, so they volunteered just like we do. So when you get bills coming through the post, yeah, it's nothing to do with you. I mean, if I can go back a bit, the reason I discovered this was because I got into huge amounts of debt many, many years ago, like, I don't know, 25 years ago. And it all became a bit too much for me. And I had, you know, kind of demands for money and so on coming left, right, and center. And so I just started ignoring them all. Yeah, because it was just too much for me to deal with. Yeah. And I got people knocking on the door, you know, and slipping notes through the door saying, you know, we're coming for you kind of thing. And that was very, very stressful.
Oh, well, because a
But
lot of
after,
it's intimidating and a lot of it's threatening.
and you know, once again, possibly because I was a driving instructor, and working for myself, and by that time I'd also decided not to make any more tax returns. Yeah, so I just stopped doing tax returns. I just basically stopped re responding to anything about, I don't know, 10, 15 years before COVID came in.
Okay. Yep. You were already fit trying to figure things out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of figured out that, hang on, they send me summons, but nobody comes to pick me up. Yeah. It's all about volunteering. Yeah, they can't make you do anything, is what I kind of worked out.
Right.
Yeah.
The hard way.
So, you know, I hadn't been paying utility bills or whatever, or council tax or mortgage for years and years and years.
Yep.
And I mean, there's, you know, there's just so much stuff that I've discovered about how it's basically all just a trick. Yeah, from the infant, from the post, the post and mail thing, you know, the mortgages, for instance. I mean, either you're saying that you've got a house and you want to borrow money against it, but of course you don't have the house because somebody else is living there. Yeah. Or
Hang on. What do you mean by that?
if I go to a pawnbroker, yeah, and say, oh, I've got a watch. Yeah, let's say I go to a pawnbroker and I say, look, I need to raise $100. Yeah. And I say, and I've got a nice watch. She said, oh, great, show it to me. I said, oh, no, it's not here. Yeah. Is it a friend's place? And he's not going to lend me $100, is he?
No.
He'll want to see that I actually own that watch. Yeah. But then I go to a bank and say, oh, I want to buy, you know, I want $100,000 to buy a house.
Yep.
And so, where's the house? Well, I don't own it. No, somebody else, it's somebody else's house. Oh, yeah, sure, mate. We'll give you $100,000 on something that somebody else owns. Like, how does that work?
Hang on, how does that work?
Yeah, how does it work?
The bank's not
How
going
can you
to give
borrow?
you 100,000 on a house that you don't own.
Well, they do every time you buy a house.
Why? Who owns
Every time
the house?
somebody, sorry.
Who owns the house?
Well, I mean, if I move in, if I'm looking to move into a new house, I certainly don't own that house.
Not yet,
Yeah.
but you've entered a
No, not
contract.
yet.
Yep.
But, you know, they have to give me the money for the house to buy it before I own it.
Okay. Yep.
Well, that's mad because I could drop dead. So they could give me the money and I could then drop dead, theoretically. Yeah. Or the other thing is I'm lying and I say, oh no, I've got this house. This is my house. Give me 100,000. Just lend me $100,000. See, this is the problem with the system. Okay. The way it works is because the mortgage or exchange of contracts, you get two exchanges of contract on the same day. You know, somebody generally moves in and somebody moves out, so on the same day. Yeah. They can flip the timing around. So they could say, oh, that person moved out, you then moved in, and then we gave you the $100,000.
So what you're talking about is something that we're not privy to that's happening behind the scenes with what they're doing.
Well, it's basically what nobody's thought about. I mean, you know, I've just thought how, you know, I've basically tried to make look at buying a house or raising money to buy a house, like raising money to buy anything. Let's say I wanted to buy a second watch, for instance. And the guy would say, oh, no, you give me the watch first, put it over the counter, and then I'll give you the $100 to buy another watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I'm with you. And we're not putting
Yeah.
the house forward and going, here's the house. Now give
Yeah.
me the money. They're
Yeah.
giving us the
So,
money on the proviso that a house is going to turn up at some point.
which is kind of a bit mad, you see. And so they can only do this because banking doesn't work on a second by second or minute by minute basis.
Right.
They can do it because the books are balanced at the end of the day.
Okay. Oh my God, you've just opened up Pandora's box, Martin. And I hope everybody out there, you're not frying too many brain cells as they try to put all those pieces together.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. So you started to understand that there are trusts created, that there's different versions of what we think is our name that is being
Yeah.
bandied about and worked on in all sorts of ways. We've got paper identities, at which are those names all over the place. And you then started to find, did you, different groups that were all starting to look at this kind of what's going on in the world, what's happening with our birth and recording or registering and our systems?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, mainly the work of Anna von Reitz and the American States Assembly, which is the kind of forerunner of TASA, the Terra Australis
And
States
for people
Assembly.
listening, I've interviewed a couple of people from Terra as
Yeah,
well.
Mookie and Ben, I think, from TASA and so on. Yeah.
So
So yeah. So I.
why were you trying to find groups? What were you looking for?
To see if. Yeah, basically just to bounce ideas off people and
Okay.
ex exchange ideas and so
Yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And then I discovered Anna von Reitz and all her articles. She's done over 5,000 articles now. It was about
Yes.
2,000, 2,500 when I first found her. But straight away, I think maybe a third article, there was an article called The Nut Is Cracked,
And there's a book.
which has
There's a
got
book by that
which
name. Yes.
Yeah, but it basically the nut is cracked. The article basically lists all these different types of trust names that
Right.
are in our name. So, whether it's all capitals or whether it's half capitals and half kind of lowercase, and whether it's got full stops in it or not. There's a whole load of stuff in there. So that gave me a good clue. So when I then started looking at the mail that the mail that I was getting. That kind of told me I was kind of on the right path. And then I started reading lots of her history and found that there's kind of an alternative history to the aftermath of the Norman conquest over here in England about in 1066, so about 1,000 years ago. And the Because she had access to family history going back
That's what
all
I
that
was about to
time.
say, actually. Yeah, she had generational history in her own family that had been investigating a lot of wrongdoings and a lot of questionable things. I just, for everybody out there, want to give her website. I was just looking it up myself. So we've got Anna, A-N-N-A, Von, Von, Reitz, which is Reitz. com. And if you go to that website, it has her blogs. And as you said, there's 5,000 odd of them. And if you want to research for yourself what has been going on in the world behind the scenes, so to speak, go and have a look, right? Go and have a look. So you got connected with these other groups because you were looking for. Still researching, you wanted more conversations and connections and discussions about all this stuff, yeah?
I mean, I was by then. I'd found out about licenses. So basically, a license is something that allows you to do something that's otherwise illegal. It's basically just another money-making scam. Yeah, and so I knew then. I discovered that within the first few weeks, and I thought, well, I can never go back to being a driving instructor again.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because A, I had to be licensed. Yeah. And B, I was helping other people to get a license, so it's so that was that. So
Well,
yeah,
that dashed
that
all
was
of
it.
that, didn't it?
But there you go. That's life. And
But this is beautiful in a sense that. It took you down this incredible road, right? Uncovering a lot of things. And as you said to me before we got started, you already had questions through your own life by being adopted, by having a mother who was German and who'd, gone through World War II, would that be?
She grew up in Nazi Germany.
So you already had questions, and being adopted, you knew about the church. You had personal experiences with the church and the state that as a kid already had you going, I don't like you guys.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. So it was
Yeah.
already there right at the beginning for you, and then
Yeah.
COVID comes along and triggers all of that. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, other things that happened during my life, which is why I thought, right, I've got to be kind of working for myself. So I deliberately don't say self-employed, because when you're self-employed, you tend to fill in tax returns. Yeah. Because employment is a kind of state thing, even self-employed, because you're paying taxes.
So those childhood experiences had you
Yeah.
doing anything that you could to be independent of the system. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it was, but also, the stuff that happened in my working life, once, or when I went to university for a while, and saw people there doing huge amounts of drink and drugs, and I was thinking, hang on, these are our future captains of industry. Yeah, it just reinforces the idea that the whole thing is a sham, and then being offered a good job, and then at the last minute being told I wasn't having that job because somebody else had turned up from the CEO's school, and he was giving the job to him. They'd been at the same private school together, even though they'd never met each other before. Yeah. And then not getting a managerial position in a job with a large corporation, because although I was qualified, well, I wasn't qualified. I mean, I was smart enough. Hopefully, you can recognize that. I was able to do lots of research and stuff there, but because I didn't have a degree, they wouldn't give me a management position. So yeah, eventually, and that all happened in my 20s. And I thought, by the time I got to the end of my 20s, look, to hell with it. I'm just going to have
You
to work for
started
myself.
seeing firsthand how it didn't have everything to do with a piece of paper. It had a lot to do with money and power. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, fitting in, basically.
Yes. Fitting in. Yeah. And fitting in with what? Huh?
Yeah, indeed.
Because I saw that myself with leaving school and getting out into the real world. I was in a lot of corporate kind of situations and saw more happening, just like you did, in terms of drugs and alcohol and bad behavior. And my radar was going off too, going, how are these people running, corporations and the big end of business and stuff, if they're all behaving this way, especially during the 80s? I mean, there was nothing unusual about having lunches that went into the wee hours of the morning. Everybody was smoking, drinking, doing drugs. What the white collar drug industry was pretty big, and it makes you a bit jaded, doesn't it?
I mean, it just wasn't my scene. It's kind of like, it's just like, God's, yes, as you say, for goodness sake, it's kind of, why are we listening to these people? Why do we have any faith in them?
So you had a lot of experiences of researching and investigating a lot of different things, and COVID then just goes and knocks you right on the head, and you have to get into finding out what's going on. So what now? What advice would you give for people? Firstly, I know that you've already said do your own research, right? You can listen to other people, but you have to do your own research. And Anna's blogs would be a really good place to start for some people if you want to do that. The other thing would be to find some groups out there that are starting to question our systems, right? But you've got to do your own research. So now what? What next?
For me. Okay, well, so I've recently done this, I decided to go back as far as possible, and to the Greek lore, or to the Greek myths, because that seems to be what our lore is based on.
For
But
everybody,
once you get,
can I just interject just for a minute? For everybody out there, I read your document that you'd done about that, and it took me
okay.
days. It took me days because it's, for starters, I have researched a lot of different rabbit holes in terms of who are we and what is this place that we're living in. I've listened to people who have different interpretations of the Bible, have different interpretations of our history as well, which is all really, really interesting stuff, right? There's interpretations of everything out there, and interpretations that bring more light to what we understand as opposed to what we've been taught. And to read through what you put into such a sequence was incredible, because you were talking about the Greek gods and the whole status and setup, and how our law and our societies got rolled out.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Incredible.
In fact, even there's some stuff because I've been doing it since then, since I you saw those documents. I mean, I don't know whether I mentioned there's a bit in there which explains the post and mail thing, for instance.
Right.
So there's a wedding of Zeus, the king of the gods, and Hera, his wife, finally. But Zeus is actually the state, and Hera is representative of the church. So it's the melding of church and state together. They get married. So when Zeus is busy raping and doing all these other things, it's not actually a kind of physical thing.
So it's
It's
not a
where,
physical person. It's not a physical
no,
person.
it's not a,
It's an
no,
allegory.
and it's
It's.
basically, what he's doing is he's annexing various other laws
Right.
and
Right.
so on. And so, there's a bit where his father, Kronos, is persuaded to swallow a stone, in swaddling. Yeah. Well, the stone is actually, it comes up quite a few times, the stone is a lie. Yeah. So he swallows a lie, and
Right.
swaddling is a story around it.
Right. Yeah.
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 So what once it's kind of weird because once you start recognizing these things, it becomes kind of like, oh, right, that's what that's probably about. And then you go and look at the names of them and see how the names of the characters in a particular story,
Yep.
actually reinforce what your idea is.
Well, they start revealing themselves. It's a bit like when I started reading the Bible from the perspective that it was about human anatomy, and that all the names of the different characters were, and things that happened to them were actually stories about our anatomy and how that worked. And as soon as you started to read it from that angle, everything started to make different sense. So that's what you're
Yeah,
talking
for
about.
sure.
What if those characters weren't real gods or real people? But they're telling a story about how, this creation, this creation.
Well, it's essentially about this kind of lie about law,
Right.
how it's all, it all just comes from the mind. There is no absolute laws as far as I'm concerned. Maybe the law of the soil or law of the jungle, which is every man for himself kind of thing. Yeah, but
And
we
like
can
I
come
said
together in
earlier,
groups.
yeah, like I said earlier, when I called it that it came from the minds of men, that's what I meant. It wasn't about it's only men, but it's a male mental energy that has created our laws. Yeah, right. And it's not
And
God.
so, no, that's that, and so, I mean, it's interesting because you mentioned the Bible there, and of course, right at the very beginning there, you've got the waters above and the waters below, and there was a shimmering on the waters, and if we then go back to the cloud busting thing, and there's a lot of research now going on about the consciousness of water.
Right. We haven't touched on that yet, have we? About you, Mr. Cloudbuster.
And
Okay.
we've got about 5 minutes left, haven't we?
We've got seven.
So,
We've got seven. We're doing all right. We're doing all right. Okay, so what are we capable of? Let's just completely flip the conversation to that.
yeah, so, I mean, one of the things that this whole kind of reset of although some people wouldn't like that word, but this whole kind of change in the world has allowed is that it's allowed me to get close to the people that I think are going to be shaping the next experience that we have here.
Sure,
Yeah.
sure.
So, I would never be able to get near to any captains of industry or whatever, and or yeah, Elon Musk or whatever. And to be quite honest, he's not going to, take any notice of a driving instructor from, an ex-driving instructor kind of thing with some mad ideas. But I realize that, and just like you're doing, you're meeting lots of people who are seem to be shaping the new world. And this has happened with this water research, because that interested me. I did physics, chemistry, and biology at A levels many years ago when I was at school. So I've always had an interest in these kind of sciences.
Sure.
But now I'm finding out that really these are just, how should we say, idea, once again, just fictions, ideas kind of thing. And there's a kind of a universal consciousness
There is.
probably within water.
Well,
And
part of the shift, like you've been, your world's been turned upside down, like it happened to a lot of other people, but people started to open their minds to the possibilities of what's really going on. And as soon as you've got an open mind, you start to bump into some, really incredible stuff. And I think consciousness is part of what's going on right now. And I want to start having conversations using the language of spirit, of soul, of God, consciousness. Because I think we have to start talking about these things. Because one thing that I've uncovered through my own rabbit holes is that we are the most powerful creative force on this planet. And we haven't been acting like it at all.
No. Yeah, so basically with the speaking to these people, I've sought various people out that I've found who seem to be super well switched on about these things, and they're all, very approachable
Yes.
and helpful and so on. And so I got talking to these people about basically about changing the weather. There's a recent article of Anna von Reitz's about moving the storm over in Texas that was supposed to devastate Texas
Well,
and so on.
I can tell it like this, right? Anybody who's listening, you go out there tomorrow or today, whenever you're listening to this, and focus on one cloud in the sky. Just focus on one cloud, keep your focus and will it to disperse and see what happens because we can make it vaporize, right? That's
I tell it to return to the ether.
okay. Okay.
But whatever works for
Whatever. As long as you give it focus and you're asking it to disappear, return to the ether, transform whatever it is, you watch what you can do. And that's the beginning of what we're capable of doing. We've known for a long time we can heal ourselves, our body, given the right environment, can take care of everything. And I think, are we starting to remember what we can do? Martin, what do you think?
Well, I mean a lot of it is out there in symbolism and so on. And basically the symbolism has been hidden by various, or let's say there's probably people who maybe haven't hidden it, they just haven't told anybody else about it, and
No,
used it for their own purposes.
that's right. Yeah, it just has not been shared. It certainly wasn't in my school curriculum. Was it in yours?
Sadly not, no. But no, I was watching a webinar last night by a guy called Bob Greenyer of the Martin Fleischmann Memorial Project, and that was very, very interesting about how they're developing technology to basically alchemize radioactive materials into just ordinary carbon and oxygen, so they can clean up everything. And this can apparently be done with our will and so on. But they're also,
Right, right.
just just like a mic, a microphone on this and an amplifier and a speaker will amplify our voice. Yeah, they're coming up with mechanisms to, or people are coming up with mechanisms to improve our intention, shall we say.
Amplify it. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because yes, one thing that people do lack these days is good focus. So if we can have an intention and we can have a machine that will amplify that intention, that'd be great. So I mean, this is what a cool world. What a cool we are living in right now. I mean, who if someone had told you 10 years ago that you'd be doing this right now, what would you have said to them?
Wow.
Oh,
I was getting a bit bored with the driving instruction, to be quite honest. So, yeah.
yes. Yes. I think that there's something absolutely beneficial, and I hope that everybody can find that from your story as well, that we went through what was such trauma for a lot of people, such turning our lives into chaos and upside down, but it really was a great catalyst for reinvention, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, and I've met people from all over the world now, such as yourself, on the other side of the
Yes.
world, pretty well, exactly.
Who would have thought?
It's nighttime there, it's daytime here.
Yes. Yes.
It's good. It's a shame we're kind of, at the moment still fairly spread out, but it seems
Oh,
to
we're
be that
coming
the, you
together,
know.
Martin. We're coming together, and that's why I run this radio show. Our voices, especially combined voices like we're doing right now, just as far as I'm concerned, are a bit like a sonic boom. They just boom, out they go for others to listen to. And your story is, so many people can relate to the things that have happened to you. And, and thank you for being brave. Thank you for stepping up and doing this interview with me, right? Because I know it's not easy when it's not something that you do on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's my first one.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and you've been a great host.
I want
Thank you.
everybody to know that, right? It's like Martin's been brave. He's just got up here and spoken out about all the rabbit holes you've gone down. And I hope everybody takes a little bit of something away from that and starts to do their own research, because we are all connecting with each other right now, right? We're creating something better and something new for ourselves. So thank you so
Absolutely.
much for your time
Okay.
and for
My
sharing with me.
pleasure. If people can probably find me on Facebook or via Telegram or whatever if they're interested in.
What would they look up? Martin Ansell.
Martin Ansell on Facebook. I think it's .369 or whatever. I can't remember exactly, but
Martin Ansell, ANSELL. He's in Sussex, England. And yeah, everybody connect. Everybody connect and start good
So.
conversations. Okay. Okay. Thank you,
Okay,
Martin.
lovely
Thank you
speaking to
so
you, Helen.
much. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Inspired Radio with Helen Taylor. Get ready to be inspired. Stories have power, and conversations spark change. So let's create a new world and get started right now.